Hi, I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Hillary Walsh. Welcome to Let's Get Rich. This is a podcast for entrepreneurs who are growing law firms so that they can live rich lives and leave rich legacies.
In each episode, we'll provide action steps to help you get unstuck, beat distraction, and find freedom.
Let's get rich.
Let's get rich. And it is Friday Junior.
Yeah, so we call Thursday Friday Junior. Sahad actually started that, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I love her for it. But Friday Junior for us is usually, I mean, for everybody in our firm, is Thursday. It's like, I don't know, I don't understand it, but it totally works. But it's actually our first Friday ever.
Yeah, together, because I just retired recently and first full week of work in the civilian world. And really fun, but before I retired, sat down and did an exercise where I designed out my perfect week if I could just do whatever I wanted to. And in that perfect week, I had Friday mornings going to do stuff with the kids, spending some time with you. And so this week we're doing it. I signed up for jujitsu, and I'm very excited.
Family jujitsu.
Family jujitsu, because I convinced Hillary to go too. And if I can get some B-roll footage there, I definitely will, because that'll be fun. And then we have Spanish class as a family. I've got lunch with a friend. It's great.
It's going to be great. It's your Friday, but it's a Friday. Like, you get, it's your Friday.
It's mine.
I'm actually going to come in and work because we're doing orientation. Our first time to have all of our new hires for the whole month are coming in for orientation on Saturday. And we've never done that before. And I'm a very much shoot from the hip kind of gal. So Friday I was like, I got to get together and plan a little bit of this out. And I will definitely record a podcast about everything we're doing with that there. But first we got to figure it out before I can tell the tale. But today I want to talk to people about something that I am intimately familiar with, which is the three reasons why people aren't hiring you. And I say intimately familiar with this because I want to set the scene by reading a Facebook post that I posted in. I'm in a Facebook group for female immigration attorneys, and someone sent this to me the other day.
And how long ago was this post?
Yeah, I had forgotten about this post, but someone sent it to me, and it's time stamped January 19th, 2019. And I haven't even read it to you because I wanted to truly set the scene. I read this and was like, I don't even recognize this person. Thank you, sweet heaven, that I don't recognize this person anymore. But I share this because this was the three reasons that people weren't hiring me then. And I believe that they're probably the three reasons people aren't hiring you as well if you're having a difficult time converting.
And in January 2019, New Frontier was in its infancy. So
yeah, it was 7 days old.
Yeah, so to see where we're at now, where we were then, this is exciting. I'm excited
okay,
to hear what
here
it says.
We go. All caps. Are you ready? Here's the Facebook post. And this is, mind you, like, I mean, I needed therapy. It's so obvious, but all caps with a question mark and an exclamation point. What am I doing wrong? I am trying so hard to create some revenue at my new practice, offering low rates, payment plans that are flexible, and working around families' income, free initial consults, but people no-show or otherwise drop off the face of the earth. Quote, "We'll call you when we have the money together," PNC's wife says. And I respond, "We offer payment plans. Come in and we'll come up with a solution that works for you." She agrees. We have a great connection over the phone. Then she no-shows. I call 30 minutes after the scheduled appointment to see if she had trouble finding the office. That's so passive-aggressive, by the way. And then she says, "We just don't have $850 right now." And I respond, "Our firm can offer an option that's half now, half next week. How does that sound?" Response, "I think we need to wait, okay?" And then my response, my like reflection on this in this post is, her husband was detained shortly before Christmas. So this was like a couple weeks ago. And she's been visiting him in this hellhole known as a detention center ever since. And he will have a hearing any day. What is she waiting on? But more importantly, what is wrong with me?
Wow. I vaguely remember, like, it's like you're telling me about a dream I had years ago. So like, I vaguely remember this phase of life.
Yeah.
But wow.
I'm so thankful to this young lawyer, Hillary, this young entrepreneur who knew it was me. It wasn't the lady. I love the self-awareness here because I could tell something was wrong with me. What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? And I think that that just shows that there was a belief that this can be possible, that this can be done, but I'm not doing it right. There has to be a way. And there are three things I identify here that I want to share with people, and we can kind of reflect on those things. But isn't that so amazing?
It is so amazing. I love that. And to see where we're at now and how far you've come and we've come is just incredible. If, you know, people who know us closely and know the full story, it's really amazing.
Yeah. And thank you to Ify for sending this to me, because she said, hey, I was searching for something and this came up, reading this, and wow, it gave me renewed hope. Read that thread and look at where you are in 5 short years. And I'm like, you know what? We so quickly forget. Like, everything can feel like, oh my gosh. So I'm very thankful for her sending me that. I'm thankful that I posted it. I'm glad I didn't delete it. Sometimes I will go back and delete posts because I'm like, oh, I don't want those to exist anymore. But this is a good one. So let's jump into the three reasons why people aren't hiring you.
Okay. So the first reason that you would say, it shows a little bit in the post, but probably low confidence.
Totally. When you have a level of desperation, that means you're not confident in your services. So this post, you could hear, like, I'm basically trying to beg this person to come in and work with me. And I think all of us have to start somewhere. So I have no judgment of anyone who's trying to hustle someone in, but it also transmutes an energy of desperation, which you cannot be desperate and confident at the same time. So the two things cannot coexist. You have to have one or the other. And I think it is, you know, we're going to get into number three, which is trying to help, you know, here in a moment, we'll get into number three. Actually, I just want to tell people up front what they are.
Okay, go for it.
Thank you. Number one is low confidence. You have too low of authority. Your authority is not on point, or it's your brand. Your brand is not in alignment.
Number two is rates are too low, as in people don't see value in what they're about to get from you, because it's like you're selling a McDonald's burger and they want a steak.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want what you have to offer. I love the burger and steak analogy. So good.
It's almost lunchtime.
And number three is you aren't tying your suggested outcome to their pain. So let's start with number one, where it's low confidence. I mean, with this woman, I'm basically begging her to come in. I don't have the confidence. And when people are in a consultation with you, you can feel if you're confident. I remember knowing that I was not showing my confidence when I was sitting across from a client in my, I finally had springed for, I don't know what the past tense is, but I had finally springed for a Regis office rather than like the hole, that an air conditioned hole that I started out in for $100 a month. I had finally all of the vibe was there. Regis offices are beautiful. They're on point. But someone asked me, can I see your law degree just so I have proof that you're actually a lawyer? And at this point, like, I'm sitting here looking across from this person, like, they don't even, like, they, like, all of that meant was that they did not have confidence in me. And so either I wasn't being confident in myself and the solutions that I was offering, or, you know, like, I don't know what it was, but clearly I had an issue.
There's also the confidence in the system you built, the confidence that there are enough clients out there, right? There is an abundance. And I think all of those pieces of confidence come together. And when we learned over the years through our work that there is an abundance, there's more than enough. You know, we've done our own study of how many clients we're trying to get per year and how many people actually need our help out there. And when you start to understand that and you believe it and you know it, there's less of a desperation that you mentioned, because you have confidence that the next person through the door is going to hire, or the next after that, or you know what? There are 450,000 undocumented people within 50 miles of us that need help. So when you know that you have confidence in yourself and you have confidence in the abundance of the universe and there's enough clients out there, that all ties together.
Totally. And when she's, you know, when I'm offering her, we're like, well, how about half down today, or, you know, pay your half down today and half down next week? Like, there's no confidence that I'm communicating in what our system is and our structure is. Like, this is what it's like to work with us. And now we have such a clear system that pretty much no one can, like, we're not going to make new, we actually have template contracts that are PDFs that we are fillable, that we fill in what the services are. You can't change how the payment structure works because it's so set in Adobe PDF, not in stone, but you know what I mean? So like bending over backwards to try to accommodate people, all that really does is it communicates that you don't have authority in the relationship, that they have all the authority in it. And it again gives off an air of desperation, and that really just crushes your confidence.
That's exactly the word I was going to use. I was going to say it eats away at your authority, mm-hmm. Authority to the client, and then a client who wants to see your law degree. And, you know, when you're basically negotiating down to just give me a dollar right now to keep me on retainer, it just eats away at your authority, that you know what you're doing, that you have clients, that you are, a practicing attorney.
And I look back at that time and I was still, I mean, I did not have the belief in myself or the self-worth to even dress the part of a successful lawyer. So in January of 2019, I was still wearing maternity clothes, even though I had had Lincoln in 2017.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Still wearing maternity clothes, still wearing nursing bras, even though I had stopped nursing, like, when he was a year old. My brand was a low vibe brand because, and there's nothing wrong with wearing maternity clothes, clearly, but when you have for 2 years, and I had at that point been wearing those same maternity clothes for 4 years before that. So like, there's just something about your outward appearance and the willingness to take care of yourself. And I mean, I think all the way down to your undergarments are really important, that you are worth having stuff that don't have holes in them and that are not, you know, totally unnecessary. And you would never go to the store if I weren't nursing. I would never go to the store and buy a nursing bra and go home and put that on. But I was just using what I had. And later on, I ended up doing a branding workshop and with Sarah Kaki and Lee Hayward. And I did that in April of 2019. And that was a game changer. I just started showing up really differently. And it changed my brand. And it changed the conversation around what it was like to work with us. And it eventually has kind of created, and I didn't do it intentionally, but almost like a celebrity feel, where when clients meet me, they feel a little bit like they're meeting a celebrity, which is the weirdest thing in the world. Every single time it's like, why are you so excited to meet me? I'm excited to meet you. But your brand communicates a lot. Where just like what you're describing, if I go into McDonald's and they ask me to pay $40 for 3 hamburgers, I would be like, no, you're crazy. I'm getting out of here. But I would do the same thing at a high-end burger place. Like, I'm trying to think of the high-end burger places that we go that, you know, they have the, we're hungry. That's what this comes down to. But I digress. You get the point. Your brand says a lot about what the price is that people are willing to pay, and your confidence does as well. And if you don't have those ingredients, people aren't going to hire you.
Yeah. And your brand ties back to your confidence, the way you show up, the way you brand. I think we'll probably do a whole another podcast on branding. But, you know, Gary Vee talks about that quite a bit, on building your brand and how the future of attention and the future of business is in the brand.
Yeah. You just got done reading
Day Trading Attention. Yeah. Fantastic book. I had to keep I listened to it on audio and I had to keep stopping on my run to take notes. It was so good. But when you're building that brand, you got to remember that people follow a person before they follow a business, and people believe in you as a person, and they believe in your mission and your vision and what you're building and doing before they ever believe in the name New Frontier. And so when you show up with that brand all the way down to your underwear, and you show up with confidence, and that confidence gives you the authority, and all of that ties together into the first point.
Yeah. And if you have low brand or low confidence, people won't want to hire you because they don't believe that even if they pay you the $850 Hillary Walsh of 2019, they don't believe that you're going to be able to get the result that they want you to get. And so no amount of money is worth it because they don't believe that you can get them what they want.
Which ties to our second point on the value.
Totally.
Right? Because if your rates are so low, they're not feeling...
Or not even so low, but just lower.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I should say that rates should be appropriately set.
Yes.
To what it costs you and your own, you know...
Objectives,
your SKUs for your business and all of that. So I'm not saying arbitrarily just go raise rates to make it more expensive. But if you don't have the confidence in yourself to charge what your service is worth, and you also aren't able to communicate the value you bring to people... then that is probably the second most reason why you're not getting hired.
Yeah. So looking back, like I'm thinking about this post in 2019 where I was charging $1,700 for a bond hearing. We don't do bond hearings anymore. We don't do detain work anymore. But when we finished doing detain work, we were charging $3,500 for a bond hearing. And we got hired every time. that people were coming to us. We had a very high hire rate because we became so confident in our ability to get people out of the detention center. I couldn't sell $850, but later on I could sell $3,500. What was the difference? I don't know. I don't know what all my competitors were charging or are charging, but I do know that no one was charging $1,700. I was way low. And when you go in and you think, no one wants to get a deal on a tattoo. No one really wants a bargain on tattoos, on what are the other things?
Don't budget shop life-changing things.
Totally. No one really wants to do that. They do want to feel like they're getting good value for what they're paying. And if they're talking to other law firms and you're $1,000 lower, the question in their mind is, what are they not doing that this other firm is doing? Because that doesn't make sense to me. Versus what you think they're thinking is, oh, I'm going to go with the cheaper place because I'm getting the same service either way. People don't think that way.
And one of our first business coaches taught us that people don't want to pay less. They want to get more. So communicating the value of your service to them is the important aspect of that, because they're not necessarily looking to pay less money. They just want to make sure that they are getting the best service possible for the money they are going to pay.
And that goes into all these 10X philosophies where lots of people have written about you need to give 10 times the value of what you're charging someone. And so as you may hear this and you think, wow, you know what? I know my rates are too low and I've been really putting off raising them. Don't just raise them arbitrarily. Look at the value that you can add, where it's like, okay, I can do a bond hearing for this person, but I can also, just staying with bond, I can also do a parole packet for them included in this instead of charging them as two separate things. I can also offer, you know.
I'll give you an example that I remember from that time frame. We made backpacks. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I love this.
We made backpacks and we just put in there stuff you would need if you were just immediately being released from the detention center and maybe your family was across the country or you had no one to pick you up. And so the backpacks just had toiletry items, a
and
shirt.
We provided like a driver that would pick you up. This was before pandemic days, but we had a driver that would go out to the detention center because most of our clients were all over their sponsors were all over the U.S. And so we had a guy named Victor. He was awesome. He would drive to the detention center, pick someone up and bring them to the airport, but he would give them the backpack. He would get them connected to International Rescue Mission if they needed to stay the night before their flight. So, and then International Rescue Mission would take it from there, but there was no service that would really offer that type of help. And so we included that as part of our offering, which was a huge value for people, and no one else was doing it. So when we got on the phone with people, we would say, you know what, before we get off the phone today, I want to let you know that you may be able to talk to other people today, other law firms, for example. And if price is the most important thing for you, I want to let you know that we're not the cheapest. And I can even refer you to people who are cheaper than us. But I want to let you know is that here are the extras that come along if you hire us. This, 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 and this. And I don't know if those things are important to you, knowing that I know those things are very important to them. But these are the things that are included if you hire us. And they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think through what that was going to take and everything else. Yes, this makes so much sense because we were providing so much value to the client.
Yeah, we used
to. Those were the good days,
man. We used to include prepaid phone card and a debit card with like $50 on it for the airport or the bus station. But I think we spent a lot of time then, and still we do still to this day, figuring out what value we can add. And although we don't do detained work anymore and we don't do that service, if you're out there doing detained work, I highly recommend the backpack thing. It was, you know, like under $100 worth of stuff in a backpack, and it was huge. It was awesome. But now we offer things like we have free counseling services. We have group meetups on the weekends. We have all these other value add things that are just part of our culture and part of when people sign up and join the firm. And we're constantly looking for ways. You mentioned the client onboarding this weekend. It's going to be an amazing event that is just a value add that people are not getting anywhere else that they go for this type of legal service.
Yeah, so much fun. But if your rates are too low, all that's communicating is that you're cheap. And this totally ties to your brand. Very rarely do people, if you're a lawyer especially, very rarely do people want to work with a cheap lawyer because they could go hire a notario or a form preparer who can do the exact same thing for cheap. And if you're the cheap person, you're going to get clients who always want you to jump through hoops for them. Overall, it just is, you don't want to have a cheap brand. If you do, if you want to have a budget brand or a discount brand, just know you're going to attract a client who is never going to be satisfied because all they care about is price. They don't care about value. But like we talked about earlier, that's what they're going to say. I don't care about the value. I care about the price. But everybody wants value. Everybody does, even if they don't know it.
That's absolutely true. And I know this isn't about the numbers, but you know I have to go into numbers just a little bit.
Let's do it.
Because I believe that there's probably some people wondering, well, are my prices right? Are they correct? Because we did in the beginning. And you can do a lot of things. You can secret shop people. You can do whatever. But what I recommend and what we've done is we don't look at what other people are charging because that doesn't matter. That doesn't affect New Frontier. We have our own process and our own bills to pay and our own everything, right? So we just set our prices independent of what anyone else is doing, and we make sure we're setting value. So we figure out how much time it takes for each department of our law firm to work on this case and what it's going to cost us. And once we know our no-kidding cost, that is amount of paralegal time, amount of attorney time, amount of... What are some of the other positions?
Just, you got to do overhead.
Yeah.
You basically, like, all the work that goes into making the case. Like, if you think about when I go to Taco Bell and you watch all the people assembling everything, like, who are all the people
legal
on your assembly line?
Legal assistant was the word I was looking for.
Sorry.
No, all the different aspects of your firm and the overhead and all of that. And what does it really cost to make that case and take it all the way through to the end? And then we take a multiple of that. And that is, you know, you can use a 3 multiple. A lot of people use a 4x multiple of that. And you have to go back and reevaluate that every so often, like, you know, once a year, once every 2 years, because the prices of things change. You
including
give people
payroll.
Raises.
Exactly.
Payroll goes up. Mm-hmm. So I would highly recommend, if you're going to secret shop people, go ahead, do it. That's fine to have a comparison. But look at what it's costing you and your firm to do this case and then set your prices accordingly. And then add more value.
I don't want to like run off on too many rabbit trails, but when we secret shop other law firms, we never care about their price. I'm caring about the customer experience. I want to make sure that our experience is so superior and so different than what other law firms are doing. That's what I care about, because the customer experience will then, you know, make everything work. And we have actually a whole other podcast on why you should create a high-end experience, but that's for another day. Okay, so number one. The number one reason that people aren't hiring you
was low confidence.
Low confidence.
Authority, confidence.
Cheap brand.
And cheap brand, yeah.
Number two is your rates are too low and you're just not communicating the value of what they want.
Or maybe you're not providing additional value for their money.
True. So true. And then, speaking of bond hearings, man, if there was a way to enter for one master calendar hearing while the person's detained and then be able to get out of the case, if someone could figure that out, then you would be adding so much value to clients' lives, because that was always our client's number one concern was, you're telling me you're going to go to one hearing for the bond, but in that same day, in that same room, and you're just going to sit there on the sidelines and or on the TV screen and you're not going to say anything and they're going to have to do it on their own. And we're like, yes, unfortunately, we can't enter our appearance unless you hire for full representation. So if someone figures out, and I don't care what the answer is because I'm not going back to doing detained work at this time, but if you can figure out how to communicate, this is just a tip for you. If you can figure out how to communicate, I will help you with one master calendar hearing and this bond hearing, bada bing, bada boom. That would be a huge value to people. Okay. And then
I could see what you did there. You just added value to the podcast.
I added value to the podcast. Yes. Number three. And if you're starting out, oh my gosh, that would be like, I really believe in detention center work.
Hillary, for the record, built a $1 million law firm from scratch, doing only detained work, driving to La Palma and Florence
and
detention
Eloy.
Centers mm-hmm. 3 or 4 days a week and just hustling like crazy, and built an entire $1 million law firm on that. And we don't even do that anymore. So if you're just starting out, there's a lot of people that need help, and we just gave you ideas for value.
Yeah, for sure.
Number three
is you aren't tying your, like, the outcome, the process, the resolution, the solution, the destination that you're suggesting, you're not tying it to their pain.
Yeah, this one always resonated with me because you were very good at finding pain points. And what is it deep down that people are really wanting from this experience, from hiring the law firm. And when you figure out what their pain point is, you can figure out how you can help them better, as well as communicating the value of what you're doing.
And getting into people's pain. I mean, I think that I have because I come from a upbringing where there was enough turmoil and chaos and pain in my upbringing, that it helps me to be able to see it so easily in other people. That's one of my superpowers. And I just finished Dan Martel. I just finished his book, and he talks about how that's actually one of the superpowers of many entrepreneurs, is they had some chaos in their upbringing. I think all of us had some of it to some extent. I don't know that you really did, but anyway, most of us did. And that is a superpower, and that's helped me really be comfortable and confident talking to people about their pain. But it wasn't until I became okay with my pain that I could talk to others about it. I remember the very first time that I locked in on my little computer in our Regis and did a video about, if you have experienced domestic violence, I want you to know that you're not alone. That so many, and I didn't say that I have experienced this. I said, so many people have experienced this. There's nothing that you should be ashamed about. You did nothing wrong. And all I was doing was I was talking to myself. I needed to hear this. Little Hillary, you did nothing wrong. These things happen. And what I believe, my arm hair is standing up. What I believe is that everything broken can be made beautiful. And that's what I shared in that video. I remember sharing it. I had just joined How to Manage, and we actually ended up sharing it in a video competition, like a marketing competition, and Arjun and Jimbo, I think was his name.
Yeah,
he's so nice. They were giving feedback, and it was, you know, I was pretty drunk because that's what I did at all of these HTM events. But I remember them being like, I got no notes. And I thought, that's because I mean, that came straight from my
authentic
pain. And it communicates the pain to somebody else. And that's when you get comfortable with your pain, that is when you can start really identifying it with other people. And as immigration lawyers, so many immigration lawyers, I have not walked in the shoes of being an immigrant. I've never walked in the shoes of being a minority, of being a person of color. So I don't have that pain to lean into. I have other pain that I get to lean into, but so many people who you have felt disenfranchised, you have felt discriminated against. Look at this arm hair standing up. It's because it's the truth. You know it. I hope that's not weird. It might be, but it's just true. I really feel this in my core. You have been told that, you know, this is not a place for you in terms of being successful or whatever it may be. And even if you weren't verbally told that, the messaging that so many of us have gotten have been that those are for positions for people who don't necessarily look like you or who aren't the same gender as you. If you're gay, oh my goodness, I wish there were more gay CEOs, you know, really out loud, proud CEOs, more trans CEOs, because this is going to help other people who feel very disenfranchised say, look, this person has been so successful and I can do this too. But in any event, you have experienced pain, the same type of pain that your clients have experienced. If you can lean into that and really tie the destination that you're offering them to their pain, you are the salve, the solution. I'm going to make the hurting stop, and this is how. But first, you have to get them to say out loud what their pain is.
And I think that ties a bit back to the brand, because when you made that pivot and began talking about the pain that people are experiencing, even your own pain, one, it was very authentic, and there is no doubting the authenticity of it, but it became part of the brand. And I think around that time, you started taking on more VAWA. Eventually, we no longer do detained, and the primary case types that we have are VAWA and T-Visa.
Mm-hmm. And so, U-Visas. Yeah.
And it became a bit of the brand, but it was already a part of you. And so when you start to highlight the pain that other people are experiencing, and although it may not be identical, it's still pain, and you tie that back to how you are going to be able to help them. And that is communicating value, and that is going to attract more people to your brand and more clients to you.
If you want some tips on really, this is a value add for free. If you want some tips on how to like get that conversation started with helping people explore their pain, this is a big part of what I teach in our sales course, which is like per user right now, it's $200 a month for a year long contract that costs money. Maybe you're at a point right now where people aren't hiring you, and so you cannot afford to pay $200 a month for this training. I get that. But, and if you can't afford it, then come on over. But what I want to do is in the show notes, we're going to put in a free download for you. And it's the three questions I ask with some scripts, with some narrative. It's just a short PDF of really trying to help people, for me to understand their pain. And more importantly, it's for them to understand it, because a lot of times people don't even know what they're going through until they start to really outwardly process it. And this is going to be the three questions that I always ask to understand their pain. And that will be a free download available if you click on the link in the show notes.
Yeah. And that was not just for law firm owners, but for your sales team, for really anyone in your firm to understand the pain of the clients. It's just a couple of really focused and really good questions to help you unpack that information. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining. It's a delight. Thanks for doing this with me, babe.
Yeah, this was awesome. So if you've been wondering why people aren't hiring you, it is likely that one of the three things we covered today could be the underlying reason. And we look forward to the next time you join us.
Yeah, it is the what is wrong with me. Thank you, Hillary Walsh of 2019, for asking that question. And when the problem is you, you find the solution and you can totally change your life. Let's do it.
See you next time.